you ready?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are back. The FTN Fantasy Football Podcast is back. It is Monday, September 2nd, 2024. Happy Labor Day. I hope that brings you burgers. I hope it brings you a few bears. And you have a nice Labor Day with the family before we start week one here in the NFL season. It's finally here. We waited all summer. It's back better than ever. We have Chiefs hosting the Ravens. We have the Packers and the Eagles in Brazil. We have a full Sunday schedule. Monday Night Football, Jets and Niners, nothing better. I am Mike Randall. I will be with you every Monday morning throughout the season. And of course, the man, the legend himself, Jeff Radcliffe, returns every Wednesday for you during the season here on the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. And he is going to have a special guest joining him each and every week. It's not been revealed. You're going to want to hear it. You're going to want to tune in on Wednesday. Jeff Radcliffe and question mark going to be here every Wednesday. I can assure you, you're going to love it. Going to be some of the best fantasy football weekly content you can find anywhere here at FTN. So what we're going to do today is I want to go through some of the injuries that have happened that could affect you in week one. I want to preview some of the higher scoring games and talk about what that means and should we react, should we overreact to that. And finally, I want to mention a couple players that I think could find their way or should find their way into your lineups. But as always, FTN Fantasy Podcast sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. We love our friends at Underdog Fantasy. Promo code FTN gets you a deposit match up to $1,000. They had all those great best ball tournaments over the summer, but guess what, folks? They're not done yet. The German Shepherd is live. They have another German Shepherd, and they have all those great weekly contests that I play each and every week. Standalone game matchups for the two standalone games on this week. They have Sunday, the early, the late, the Monday Night Football slate. Underdog, fantastic job. Promo code FTN, up to $1,000 match bonus on your first deposit. You're going to want to use it. So let's start with the injuries. And the big one here over the weekend, my goodness, Ricky Pearsall, rookie wide receiver for San Francisco, was shot in an attempted robbery on the streets in broad daylight in San Francisco. Reports were it was over a Rolex and he was shot in the upper torso, but Pearsall sort of battled with the gun for the person who was trying to rob him and actually got a shot off and I believe shot the person who was trying to rob from him. There was a video on social media of Pearsall walking to the ambulance. God bless him. I'm so happy he's okay. He's certainly going to be out for quite some time, but we have, sadly, have precedence of someone getting shot, a player, and returning that season in Washington running back Brian Robinson a couple of years ago. So Pearsall, first, God bless him and his family. Hopefully he's okay. Full recovery. He was released from the hospital. I think he'll be back, but it's going to be a while. I don't think you have Pearsall in your redraft leagues. If you have him in your best ball leagues, maybe he comes back second half of the year and gets you maybe a usable week or two. But scary times we live in right now. Thank God Ricky Pearsall is okay. Packers need a backup running back, and rookie Marshawn Lloyd was the favorite to be that person. However, he struggled with injuries. He had a small hip injury to start training camp, and then he hurt his hamstring in the preseason opener at Cleveland on August 10th against Cleveland. But it looks like he's back. He returned to the practice field on Sunday yesterday, which is great news. You know there's no A.J. Dillon there because of the season-ending neck injury, so they need a consistent RB2 behind Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs in the news all week himself, all weekend, talking about how he didn't want to sign with the Chiefs because he was with the Raiders and they're the enemy, and he didn't want to sign with the Giants even though they gave him more money. So Mr. Jacobs is locked in for a strong workload here for the Packers, and the only other backup on the roster is Manny Wilson. So Marshawn Lloyd looks like he's going to be the RB2. Definitely explosive player, can catch balls out of the backfield, and resides in one of the best offenses in the NFL. So Marshawn Lloyd, rookie, looks ready to go week one in Brazil against the Eagles. Dolphins wide receiver Jalen Waddle, round two pick, maybe round three in certain leagues, but no worse than that. He was seen practicing with a sleeve on his calf. That indicates a strain. It looks like he's going to play week one. That never seemed to be in jeopardy against the Jaguars. He looks ready to go. Don't know if he's going to be limited or not, but he has a sleeve on it. At least he's practicing. Rookie Malik Washington, make sure you watch him. He played well in the preseason. He brings 4.47 speed. If anything were to happen, Washington, who played with the starters in the last preseason game, could absolutely play a nice role here, maybe a later season waiver wire pickup. The big news, Christian McCaffrey, number one pick in most drafts, hurt his calf in the preseason. He was held out all the preseason games, but he should be ready to go for the Jets on Monday night. The question is, will offensive tackle Trent Williams be ready to go? But McCaffrey's been held out with an abundance of caution. You know the backup there is Jordan Mason, not Elijah Mitchell. So Christian McCaffrey should be ready to go, putting the mind at ease of all of us who drafted him with the number one overall pick. In Pittsburgh, running back Jaylen Warren looks like he will play against Atlanta. I don't know if he'll be 100%. He had that hamstring injury in the preseason. Should be a go. It's a very favorable situation for Warren if he can play. He's going against Atlanta. He's going against Atlanta, who struggles to stop pass-catching running backs. He is playing with Russell Wilson, who doesn't run that much anymore, so he's certainly going to pass to the running backs. He did so last year in Denver a lot as well. Jaylen Warren looks to be a huge fantasy asset here if he's healthy. He's going to play. I don't know if he's going to be 100%. Looks like he's not, but Warren should be ready to go in Atlanta and be on the field. Carolina running back Jonathan Brooks, the rookie in the second round pick for the Panthers. He's recovering from that November ACL tear. He will start the season on the PUP list. That means the earliest he can come back is week 5. Now, you have to assume he's going to be limited when he returns. Will they slowly ramp him up and give him some carries and some work? He's going to have practices as well. Panthers do have their bye in week 11. So could they try Brooks before then? Maybe week 10 against the Giants in Germany? Do they want to just wait and be careful if they're not having a great season, that he could go in week 12? Either way, I love Chuba Hubbard this week. He's going to be ranked higher than consensus. He's the lead running back. He can catch passes out of the backfield. We saw what Dave Canales did with Rashad White last year in Tampa Bay. And now they're on the road against the Saints, a 4.5-point underdogs. I kind of like the Panthers there on the money line to win that game. And the people have asked about TJ Hockenson, the great tight end from Minnesota. He is out, it looks like, until after the bye, week 6. They have a bye, so he could be back after that. The game after that is a divisional rival game against Detroit at home in week 7. That looks possible. But remember, Hockenson, on a per-game basis, was among the top 4 tight ends last year, and there was no separation. Sam Laporta was great. Travis Kelce's always great. But their averages in half-point PPR formats was about 11.6, 11.5, 11.5, 11.1 in points per game. So the separation is not great. So once Hockenson comes back, there is no reason to believe that he will not be a top 4 fantasy tight end for you. Now, what I'm going to go over now are the games and the higher scoring games, the projecting games for week 1. And the reason this is relevant is, look, if you have a running back, wide receiver, even maybe a quarterback that you selected early, you're starting them. The matchup doesn't matter. You're going to start them because you invested a lot of draft capital in them, and we have no information to the contrary that they're not going to be great. So I don't understand why someone would take a Josh Allen the first couple picks. I tend to wait on quarterback, but you take a Josh Allen the first couple picks, couple rounds, you take like a Saquon Barkley, something, you're going to play them. So there's no reason to discuss that. But what I do have to discuss with you are your flex plays, are your RB2 plays, or your wide receiver 3 plays. I have a question, for example. I have a PPR league, a half-point PPR, rather. And the question is, Ladd McConkey or Blake Corum? So could Blake Corum get a touchdown? Is Ladd McConkey really going to be the PPR monster we think? Those are sort of the critical questions that you're going to have to go through to help decide whether you win week 1. And listen, winning week 1 matters. It's overblown. People think their season's over. They panic. I get it. But it's always nice to win week 1 because it is the largest discrepancy between how you feel if you lose and how you feel if you win, because it's week 1. You're either undefeated or you're winless. And yes, people do overreact, but it's a great feeling to get week 1 because if you lose week 1 in fantasy football, you got to win 2. And if you don't win 2, then you got to win 3. And then the pressure and then the anxiety, and then you start making crazy moves that you probably shouldn't. So here are my thoughts for week 1. Last year, I always like to look at history and try to think about, can it repeat itself? Last year, the top 3 projected scoring games of week 1, 2023, were the Chargers-Dolphins at 48.5 points, the Bengals-Browns at 46.5 points, and the Seahawks and the Rams at 46 points. Now, how did that end up? Well, the Chargers-Dolphins hit 70 points, and I'm going to make a point about that game in a minute, but that was the highest scoring game of week 1. Packers-Bears had 58 points, surprisingly, rivalry game, and the Jaguars-Colts had 51. The Seahawks-Rams and the Bengals-Browns did not hit the total that we thought they would. Both of them struggled to get to that total. Now, why does this matter? Well, it's very interesting. In those games that are high-scoring, you would be foolish, we would all be foolish, to just think you play everybody in those games, because it doesn't work that way. Last year in that game, Miami 36, Chargers 34. Tua Tagovailoa, great. 466 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. However, In terms of his receivers, Tyreek Hill, 11 receptions, 215 yards, 2 touchdowns, phenomenal. Jalen Waddle, only 4 for 78. River Craycraft caught a touchdown that game. And Raheem Mostert, as much as he had a phenomenal season, only had 10 rushes for 37 yards and a touchdown. So in that game, where they scored 36 points in an electric offense, in the highest scoring game of week one, the only real players that had a massive fantasy impact were Tua and Tyreek Hill. Waddle was okay. Mostert was okay because he got a touchdown. On the other side of the ball, Justin Herbert threw for 229 yards and 1 touchdown in that game. He also ran one in, so he got a second. But 229, 2 touchdowns is not exactly what you would think for a Charger team that scores 34 points at home. Keenan Allen, 6 for 76, no touchdown. Mike Williams, 4 for 45. Donald Parham caught a touchdown. Tight end Donald Parham, pour one out, which we'll talk about tight ends later in the show when I talk about a player that if you don't have and he's available on waivers, I think you got to get him. Keenan Allen, like I said, okay. Austin Eckler was great, 117 yards, 1 touchdown on the ground, and 4 receptions, 47 yards. My point to this is the following. I don't understand why, when I look at the consensus rankings here across the industry, most people have Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, and Tank Dell all ranked inside the top 25 receivers, top 30 receivers. Those players are ranked ahead of other teams' wide receiver ones, such as Calvin Ridley, Deontay Johnson, Cortland Sutton, McConkey, Brian Thomas. I don't understand how people think that all three of the Texans' wide receivers are going to have that monster of a game on the road against a division rival in the Colts in week one. And if they do hit their ADP, then C.J. Stroud is probably a top two quarterback. I don't think that's the case. So if you have Nico Collins and you're starting him, fine. If you have Stephon Diggs and you're starting him, fine. If you have Tank Dell, sure. One of those players, or maybe two, is not going to hit what you want them to. So I would be very careful about stacking Texans in week one if you drafted two Texans players. If you have Dalton Schultz also, I would be careful. I don't. If you want to start them, that's fine. I would not start a second Texan over wide receiver one, number one receiving options on their respective teams, such as Ridley, Deontay Johnson, Sutton, McConkey, Brian Thomas. I wouldn't. Now this year, looking at the highest scoring projected games, we have Rams at Lions, which is the only game over 50 points. That's 50 and a half. We have Jacksonville, Miami, 49 and a half points. We have Houston at Indy, 49 and a half points. Huge game. Arizona at Buffalo, 48 and a half points. And Green Bay, Philly in Brazil, 48 and a half points. When you fill out your lineups, just think it through. Don't assume that multiple players from the same team in a high scoring game are necessarily going to hit. Sometimes you don't have a choice. If you end up with Travis Etienne, you're going to play him. But are you going to play Travis Etienne and Evan Ingram and Christian Kirk? That's a lot. And some of you out there have stacked teams that you really like. So remember, when you see a high scoring projected total, it doesn't necessarily mean you blindly throw in all the players from that team. You have to try to think it through. And I would always, more often than not, start a top wide receiver on another team over a second and third wide receiver on the same team. So I would never bench Deontay Johnson as the number one receiver for the Panthers on the road at New Orleans for a second Texan wide receiver. I wouldn't do it. Some people will. That's just my thought. So you have to be careful and think about how these games are going to go when you plug your players in. You do projections. No one's better than our Jeff Radcliffe here at projections. Take a look at our rankings, see where players are, and be careful. But that one struck me as odd. Because if you're doing that, you're putting those Texans in, then you're also starting C.J. Stroud. And if they don't have a massive game, which is very possible, even though there's a projected total, you could be behind the eight ball to start week one. Here are some thoughts now. We'll finish it up with a couple players that I've noticed in our week one rankings that I think you should pay attention to. Go to New Orleans. Starting tight end Juwan Johnson had that foot surgery in June, and he was activated off the PUP list this week, but they're still putting him through. Dennis Allen called it a ramp-up period. I don't think Juwan Johnson's going to play week one which really opens up a huge opportunity for Taysom Hill. Now, Taysom Hill is someone who is seen as a Swiss Army knife. Taysom Hill is someone who people don't want to guess when he's going to go off. But what did we see in the preseason? And sometimes what you see in the preseason does matter. Kendra Miller's on the IR. Jamal Williams is not impressed. Alvin Kamara appears to be on his way out. Taysom Hill got goal line carries for the Saints. I do not think Derek Carr is a dominant quarterback for them. You heard whispers about Spencer Rattler, the rookie, impressing, and he could start if things don't go well. I expect Taysom Hill to have some quarterback packages. I expect Taysom Hill to play a lot of tight end, and I expect Taysom Hill to possibly get a goal line carry. If Taysom Hill is tight end eligible and he is still on your waiver wire, grab him. Grab him. Because at a tight end position where Donald Parham, the aforementioned Donald Parham, was a top five tight end in week one because he caught a touchdown, you're going to want Taysom Hill. If he's out there, grab him. I love to keep him as a second tight end. And if he ends up being used enough, you can start him each and every week in redraft. Next up, Jaleel McLaughlin. If you're looking for two flexes or three flexes in some of your leagues and it's a PPR, I like Jaleel McLaughlin with the Broncos. They are at Seattle. Seattle was not good last year against opposing running backs. They ranked among the top 10 in most receiving yards allowed to opposing running backs. Now, you have a different head coach in Mike McDonald, who was the defensive coordinator for the Ravens. But last year, if you look at the Ravens as well, they weren't that good either against pass-catching running backs. They were right next to Seattle in running back targets allowed, running back receptions allowed, and touchdowns allowed. Sean Payton loves to pass to those running backs. You have a rookie QB in Bo Nix on the road. I doubt this is a super aggressive game plan, so I could see a lot of safe passes to McLaughlin, who's a player that Payton has raved about all offseason. And remember, no Samaje Perine. He is now in Kansas City. So think about that. Now, speaking of Samaje Perine, here are my thoughts. People are panicking if they have Isaiah Pacheco because Samaje Perine, according to head coach Andy Reid for the Chiefs, is going to be cleared for week one. That's fine. Isaiah Pacheco runs in a violent manner. We all make fun of how he runs, how aggressive he is. Yes, I like the fact that he could potentially have three down usage, but I don't think he can stay healthy the way he runs and the way he plays for three down usage the whole year. I don't. So they needed another running back of consequence besides the dominant rookie fullback, Carson Steele. So I'm fine with Samaje Perine being there. I still think it's Pacheco. I think it's Pacheco at the goal line. I think Pacheco will get some receptions out of the backfield on first and second down. I think Perine is a two-minute drill guy. I think he's useful. I do not see this as a problem for Pacheco. If you drafted Pacheco early and you think he's a running back one, you should be happy that Perine is there because I don't think it's possible that Pacheco, who is not built like Derrick Henry, could carry the load for three downs the entire season. They need to have someone else there to keep him fresh, to keep him efficient. I'm fine with it. Last year was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Jerick McKinnon was also there. I think Isaiah Pacheco is a solid running back one, and P. Ryan's presence helps keep him fresh. I'm not panicked about it at all. Last one here, two quarterback league thoughts. I looked at this when we did our rankings, which will again be up tomorrow in FTN Fantasy. Deshaun Watson. He's facing a Dallas defense that was fifth in DVOA and seventh in pass defense DVOA per Aaron Schatz here last year. And Deshaun Watson on the Browns has a defense that was elite last year himself. So his own team is probably going to limit the Cowboys' explosive offense. I don't know if I'm starting Watson in two QB leagues here. I'd rather start Daniel Jones at home. No one's going to want to start Daniel Jones. I'm fine with that at home against Minnesota. I like Geno at home against the Broncos. And even like Bryce Young against New Orleans, because I think Bryce Young is a nice buy low candidate because everyone is off of him like they were off of CJ Stroud last year. And Dave Canales has done some great things. You have Adam Thielen, who had the quietest 103 receptions in the history of the NFL last year. They have Xavier Leggett. They have Deontay Johnson. They're going to use Chuba Hubbard out of the backfield. I think he's going to play to the strengths of Bryce Young. So I would be careful with Deshaun Watson against Dallas. It is an intense game. There's been questions about his arm strength. They have Jerome Ford. Njoku's been a little banged up in the preseason. Yes, Judy's there. Cooper. I don't like Deshaun Watson. You either think that last year was just a messed up year for Deshaun Watson and he's going to bounce back to the quarterback that was two consecutive years as overall QB5 or better, or you think he's washed. And I'm starting to worry about Deshaun Watson a little bit. So I would be careful for people who have asked me about Deshaun Watson in two QB leagues. I don't know if that's where I want to go. That's going to do it for today on the FTM Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Mike Randall. Follow me on X at Randall Rant Wednesday. the great Jeff Radcliffe will be back with a special guest who will be joining him each and every week. You're going to want to tune in for that. Week one is here. We have everything you need at FTN. Can't wait. You're excited. I'm excited. Labor Day. Enjoy the beers. Enjoy the burgers. And let's get after it. We'll see you, folks. Are you ready?